Amen. Praise God. If you got your Bible, Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm going to preach for a little while what the Lord has dealt with me about on and off throughout the day. Amen. Good to have Carla, Esri, and her daughter, Scarlett. God bless them. Amen. Everyone else that's made it to God's house, we sure are blessed, aren't we? Hallelujah. Think about if you've got the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you're living the life you need to be living, if the rapture happened right now, we'd all be out of here. Amen. It's going to be a day just like today. You're going to wake up and just think, I need some coffee, and what do I need to do? I need to run this air and run that. But on that day, God's coming back. And it's going to end different than any other day has ever ended. Amen. We that are alive and remain, that's what I like to say, are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And there shall we be forever. Everybody say forever. Forever with the Lord. My Lord. I can't preach my message right now. Let me start from the beginning. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 1. The Bible said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Everybody say every weight. I've just preached this recently. Just because it may not be a sin, don't mean it ain't going to lead to a sin. That's why he said, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Everybody say we got to run with patience. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? You got to run, but it's got to be a patient run. Amen. Only with God can you run patiently. Amen. But the second verse says, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Everybody say the author. Everybody say the finisher. He's the author. He's the one that writes it. He is the origin of it. And he's the finisher of our faith. And the Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. The beginning of the second verse, one more time, looking unto Jesus. Everybody say the author. Amen. I want to preach for just a little while from this title, a good book. Amen. A good book. Set your Bibles down. Lift your hands to the Lord. Can you lift your voices to the Lord? Amen. I feel a burden in my spirit today. Come on, I want to preach the church. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice like a trumpet to him. Come on, let heaven hear you right now. We need you, Jesus. We need your help, God. God, we're desperate for you. God, we can't walk without you holding our hand. We need you so bad, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach about, everybody say, a good book. Amen, a good book. I guess where this started was last night. I was at the church in Amity, and I was praying. My son Matthew was preaching, and they wanted me to start the service. No, in the prayer and introduce him. And I was praying, and the Lord began to deal with me about this. Amen, about, I guess it started with what my life was, and I told the church there, I told them I've been through some hard times and some tough situations, but I don't have any sad stories. Amen, because all my sad stories ended with a God showing up. I couldn't tell a story if I wanted to, a sad story, because he's been so faithful to me. Amen, and as I begin to think about the thoughts of that, God began to deal with me about this message, and throughout the day it began to unfold. And I hope you've got an ear to hear what the Word of God would say to us tonight. Hallelujah. Anytime that you read a book, whether it's fiction, which I don't read hardly ever, never. A few times in my life have I read a fiction book, but whether it's fiction, nonfiction, biography, autobiography, amen. When you begin to read about people and their lives, it begins, it's almost like an emotional roller coaster that the book begins to take you upon. Amen. Because the book begins with a description of a character, and you learn the name of a character, and you learn some things about him and some pleasant things, and the way he takes care of his business and what he looks like and all this stuff. And the author kind of gets you almost to feeling like you've got a connection to this character in the book. And so he almost becomes your friend. You feel like you're connected to him, even though you have never met this character, him or her, whatever it is. Amen. But the author has a great way of connecting you to that. And the reason they do that is they want you to keep reading the book. Amen. And so you begin to feel like you're friends with this character, imaginary or maybe not imaginary. And you feel like when he hurts, you hurt. And when he's happy, you're happy. And you keep reading the book. And then the author begins to describe some difficulties that the character begins to go through. Let me just tell you something about life. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or you're middle class or you're poor or you're black, white, brown, smart, not smart, educated, uneducated. Everybody's going to have some trouble in their life. Amen. Everybody is going to get to deal with life. Amen. But as you pick up a book and you begin to read and become familiar with the character, and then the author begins to talk about the challenges that this character begins to go through, if you're not careful, it'll begin to drag you down too, almost like an emotional connection. Am I preaching to anybody? And you think, well, why do I feel sad? Because you're connected to a sad story. Hallelujah. Amen. And if it's a real book, if it's a nonfiction, a biography or autobiography, when you begin to read those and people really begin to tell you what real life is like. Maybe people you look up to, maybe it's presidents, great people that's done all kinds of things, and you think that their life has always been so simple. Amen. This guy, he's just so blessed. He thought about how to create a light bulb. Man, I wish I'd have been that smart. But if you read his book, you'll figure out 999 times he failed trying to figure out how to create a light bulb. Anybody that's ever been successful in life, if you ever got to the back part of their story, amen, it's always a story of struggle and survival and going broke and trying again and getting back. I'm just talking to you about what life really is. And amen. Anybody in this world, if it's in the church, it's in business, life, whatever it is, if they're successful, trust me, they've been through a whole lot of stuff. Man, so whether it's a fiction book that you get sad about, maybe it's an autobiography, you read about Elon Musk and maybe all the things that he had to go through and figuring stuff out. Even at that, you'll begin to say, wow, I didn't realize that he had been through all that. Amen. The other guy, Colonel Sanders, I thought he was just a good chicken cook. Amen. You begin to read the story of all the times that he failed and messed up. You could read about Donald Trump's story, and like him or don't like him, it don't matter. The man is successful in life. But if you read his backstory, there was a whole lot of mess ups and things he could have done different and financial problem here and bailing him out over here and making it through and pushing through. And so this is how books are. This is how life is that you just begin to think about, I never realized that other people went through that. In your own mind, you can think, I'm the only one that's ever had this real kind of trouble. You know, everybody else is blessed and was born in a great family and had all this stuff, and I'm the only one that's going through that. But let me just open up your understanding for a little while. Amen. No man is an island to himself. And if you see anybody succeed, whether they're raising children or making it to heaven or making it in business or being healthy, whatever it is, just understand they worked and they worked and they worked. And when it didn't work, they tried it again and they got up again. And well, hallelujah. I'm going to try to help somebody in this room tonight. I know this may be not completely like my preaching style, but it's all good because I'm not stylish anyway. Amen. But as you read these books, and it's like, you know, I remember they made me read books in elementary school, and it was like, how on earth could all this bad stuff happen? And there was plots, and there was twists, and there was things that I didn't like, and there was chapters that you just had to, they were so dreary that you just had to just keep on reading it. It ain't like it was enjoyable. It ain't like it was beautiful thought. It was just stuff you had to get through. But in your mind, you had to come to the conclusion that this book must have a good ending in order for somebody to take the time to write the book. It's got to have a good ending. And so with that understanding, people just read right on through Charlotte's Web and To Kill a Mockingbird and all them books that they made you read, and maybe some you didn't want to read and some you wanted to. Amen. And you realize that somewhere I'm going to make it through these chapters and there's going to be something good happen. Hallelujah. And sure enough, you hung in there and you just kept reading the book. And somewhere toward the end of the book, amen, after all the plots and the twists and all the things that went wrong and the people that caused all the trouble, and amen, somehow at the very end of the book, there's new characters come on the scene, or something happens and it makes it worth all them chapters that you just kept on reading. Amen. When you read books, especially nonfiction books, not only do they tell the good stuff, but they tell the bad stuff. Amen. And a lot of that people have to overcome is not just what people do to them, but you got to learn how to overcome what you've done to your own self. Amen. One of the greatest things you'll learn to overcome is your own character flaws. Amen. I don't think anybody's going to run the aisle, but amen. But you read the books and amen, and this character that they started out in chapter 1 that you fell in love with, all of a sudden in chapter 4 you realize this person's kind of dysfunctional. Amen. Amen. And through this dysfunctional person, you realize the trauma that they got to go through just to fix their own life. But thank the Lord, you finally get to the end of the book. Praise God. And something beautiful begins to happen. Amen. The person has learned the lessons in their life that got them in a mess and that caused them to lose out on their health or their family or whatever the story was. And they've learned the lessons of life. And at the very end, brand new people begin to show up. And amen. Superheroes is what I would call it. Amen. I don't know how it's going to happen in your life, but I believe something's going to happen. Amen. When you get to the end of the book, after you've read through all the drama and all the bad parts, and finally it ends up good, and you're like, you're almost relieved in your spirit that they found whatever they wanted to find. Amen. And then the words will come out of people's mouth That was a good book. Amen. Everybody say that was a good book. Amen. Even though there was a lot of chapters that you kind of just had to push your way through. Amen. When you finally got there, the end of it ended up being a good book. Can I preach to you a little while? Can I help somebody in this church? My Bible said Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. I want God to, amen, prepare somebody in this house tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shakespeare would write a play that was titled, All Is Well That Ends Well. And it would become a saying throughout time. I remember my daddy saying it to me. All is well that ends well. And what he was trying to teach me was that it may be rough today, but if you'll just keep on going, son. Hallelujah. I remember hearing a story about a real cute little sermon somebody preached, or maybe it was a book they wrote, and they were talking about a tombstone, and they were saying there's a number on the front and a number on the back, but all that matters is the dash. And I begin to think, you know what? There's a whole lot in the dash that I don't like to think about. Amen. I may go against your theology for a little while, but this is going to be good. Amen. It ain't all about the dash. It's all about the end of the dash. Amen. I just feel it in my spirit that the church needs to get some tenacity in their spirit that says, I'm not going to give up in the middle of what God is writing in my life. Come on, somebody help me right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be days in your life, it'll be like a book that you don't even want to read. There'll be chapters in your life you don't even want to think about. You don't want nobody else thinking about it. You don't want to go back to it. But let me just tell you, you will not be defined by one chapter in your book. Come on, I'm about to make a liar out of the devil. You will not get a tattoo from your one chapter in your life that you can never get rid of. But we're serving a God that's more worried about the end from the... Come on, somebody help me pray right now. Hallelujah. We're gonna get victory in this house tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want to preach, don't give up on God before the story's over with. I said, don't give up on God. Don't curse God foolishly. Don't point your finger at God. Don't open your mouth and blame God. You just say, if God be for me, one of these days this chapter will end, and it's going to be a good book when I get to the end of my life. I'm not backing up. I'm not quitting. Come on, clap your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's amazing to me that people would sit there and persevere through a fiction book because they trust the author that it's going to be good before it's over with. Amen. They'll persevere and read awful things probably that even drag them down because they know nobody sells a bad book. Bad books don't sell. This book's going to be good. I trust the author. And then they look at their own life. They look in the mirror at a season of winter time and they begin to think, well, this is just who I am. Amen. Can I preach to you a little while? It's not who you are. It's the season that you're in. It's the chapter that you're in. Amen. Come on. I'm trying to help somebody get joy in your spirit. Amen. If all you can do is get depressed about your current situation, you're going to miss out on the will of God. You're going to miss out on the joy of God. If you're always, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. If you're always trying to wish away this season in your life, well, when I get to this point, then I'm going to be happy. And when you get there, there's going to be something else. And you're going to say, well, when I get to that point, I'm really going to be happy. No, you ain't going to be happy until you get happy. Amen. Amen. When you just say, God is riding this. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. 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 I want to tell you, God is the most beautiful author that has ever written anything. You can look at God's creation and know He can do it better than you can do it. Amen. You can look at what God has done and it ought to build your faith that the same one that created this earth is the same one that's writing my story. Come on. Come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I rebuke every doubt. I rebuke every unbelief. I rebuke every sad spirit. I rebuke every defeated spirit. Amen. I feel like God has got a word for everybody in this. I believe God's got a beautiful story for everybody in this room. Amen. There's no reason to hang your head down. Amen. But you need to look up. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. When you got the Holy Ghost, your story's getting more beautiful. Every day of your life. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I know I feel a burden in my spirit tonight. I've never seen an artist like God. I've never seen an author like God. I've never seen a creator like God. I've never seen somebody that could take ashes and turn it into beauty except God. I've never seen anybody that could have put a garment of praise on you and remove a spirit of heaviness except God. There's no public speaker. Nobody can do it like God can do it. I wish I got one job tonight. Try to get you to start trusting the author. I don't even know how far I'm going to get. But I've got a mandate from God for this house. It's time to start trusting God. If you don't trust God, you'll turn on one another. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. If you don't learn how to trust God, you'll turn on your spouse. You'll turn on your children. You'll turn on your pastor. If you don't learn how to trust God, you'll say, I've been told a bunch of lies. Amen. But I come to rebuke the liar. Amen. That's told you. God's not finished. If you're alive and you got breath in your lungs, God's got a plan for you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the first chapters of the book, and the middle chapters of the book, and the mistakes we make, and the shortcomings, and maybe you did it on purpose, maybe you did it in ignorance. Whatever it is, we all make mistakes and we all fall. Amen. But you can't take the pen out of God's hand because you don't like where it's at right now. You don't like the season that you're in. You can't take the pen out of his hand or you'll regret it. Amen. When you don't know what's happening, you got to make sure you keep the pen in his hand. God, you keep writing it. Don't let me begin to... Hallelujah. Nobody does it like God. Story of a man is rejected by his disciples, beaten and abused and crucified, put in a tomb. 3 days later, he comes out of the grave, he appears unto them 40 days and preaching the gospel. Then he ascends up into glory. Amen. Could a story get any more powerful than that? Could you write a story more beautiful than that? A man that hated the Acts 2:38 message and was killing everybody that preached it. Amen. And he's on the road to kill some more and throw some more in prison. And I'm talking about what the author writes, if you'll let him. Amen. And he's heading the wrong way to Damascus to throw some more in jail. And God shines a bright light down on him and knocks him off of his donkey. We knock people down with our light. I don't know if you got that or not. We don't beat people up with darkness. We're the light. God takes this light and knocks this man down that hates this message. Amen. And blinds him. A few days later, he connects him with a preacher, and his eyes are open and he sees truth, and he ends up preaching what he hated. I'm talking about the best author that ever wrote a story, that ever wrote a life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A very young, intelligent man is taken into captivity in a strange land, Babylon. And in this strange land with no parents to make him do right, he still does right. Amen. 3 times a day he bows down toward Jerusalem and he begins to pray in a strange land. Amen. He becomes an interpreter of dreams. You mean somebody in captivity can still be used by God? You think somebody in Babylon could still be used by... Oh, yeah. Amen. In Babylon, the young man becomes an interpreter of dreams. And then in the middle of political turmoil, he still stands for what's right. He gets thrown into a den full of lions. Amen. There's some chapters in your life that you are not real good to talk about. Amen. You're not real fun to talk about. Amen. But you can trust the author. I've been praying, God, why am I getting handcuffed right now? I've been praying. I've been living right. Why am I the one getting thrown into the den of lions? I trust the author. Hallelujah. I trust that at the end of the day, when God's finished with my life, it's going to be a good book. Come on, I'm trying to get you to trust God. that at the end of your life, your story's going to be a good book. Hallelujah. They throw him down into a den full of lions. And the angel of the Lord takes the mouth of the lions and shuts them. Hey man, what are you doing, God? I'm going to show the king who the best author really is. Hey man, and the king can't sleep that night and he's pacing the floor. Why are you pacing the floor? Because this is all part of the story. Hey man, this is a good book. Hey man, the king is pacing the floor thinking I've done messed up. I've done thrown a good man away. Hey man, and he runs out the next morning. I believe he has faith that Daniel's going to be there. I believe he already knows that it's going to be a good book. He begins to holler, oh Daniel, oh Daniel, oh Daniel, is your God able? Oh king, God has come and he shut the mouth of the lion and the king. Oh king, let me tell you, God shut the mouth of the lion. And the king who wanted them to bow down to a 90-foot idol, now begins to say, Daniel's God is the only real God. You think you could write a book like that? I couldn't write a book like that, but I know somebody who can. I know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was an evangelist. Amen. That God wanted to go to a little town called Nineveh, but the evangelist didn't want to go because he didn't like the people of Nineveh. What a story. Hallelujah. Amen. And the evangelist thought he was smarter than God. He thought he was faster than God. He thought he could outrun God. Amen. This is a really good book. I said, this is a really good book. They read this one to me when I was in Sunday school. Amen. The evangelist tried to run away and he jumped into a ship thinking he could get away from the God of the seas. Not knowing that the God that told him to go to Nineveh was the God that can speak to the sea and the wind, and they have to open. I'm talking about a good book. Hallelujah. Not knowing he's thinking I can get away from God. About that time, the old boat begins to rock. God knows how to rock your boat. Boy, he's such an amazing author. And the old boat began to rock, and all the other heathens on the boat are thinking, what's going on? Finally, they figure it out. It's the evangelist. He's the problem. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because they don't pay offerings big enough. I don't know why he didn't want to go, but he didn't want to go. What an awesome story. And they take that evangelist. His name's Jonah, in case you didn't know. And they throw him overboard. And a big old fish. I'm telling you, God writes books. Amen. A big fish swallows a man. Takes him down to the bottom of the sea. The Bible said he's looking through the bars. That's the gills of a big old fish. Thinking, you know, it wouldn't hurt to go in there for a weekend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what I tell evangelists. If God opens the door, you better go. God. Hallelujah. They say, and I appreciate them asking. We got some good evangelists in this church that go out and preach. And they always ask me, and I would never tell them no because I don't want the fish to get me. Brother Brooks always asks, can I preach for my dad or who? I think you ain't even got to ask me, but I would never tell him no anyway. Praise God. Because God writes stories. And the evangelist got swallowed up. And he's down there. You know where he repents? This came to me today. He repented below sea level. What a good place to repent when you can't repent above sea level. God has a way of taking you below sea level, getting you to where, this is what we used to call it, say uncle. God's got a way of getting you to where you'll say the words you need to say. Amen. And below sea level, he begins to make deals with God. Say, I think I'll go now. And so the same fish that come up and swallowed him comes back up and spits him out. And then God begins to tell him the same story. Now, go to Nineveh. If you think the story's going to change because you went through the trial, God don't change his will. He may have to drag you through the mud to get you to do it. But when God wants you to do something, he knows how to make you do it. Hallelujah. What an amazing story. And he goes to Nineveh and he preaches. He preaches repentance and they all repent. Could you write a story like that? If you're reading the book of Jonah, about halfway through it, you're thinking, oh, Lord. I mean, if you didn't know the ending. Oh, my, this book right here, I don't know. It may be over for that guy. But I got a burden on my spirit tonight. If you let God write it, hallelujah. You know what a prayer life does? It takes it out of your hands and puts it in God's hand. Anybody got an ink pen? Give me an ink pen. Hallelujah. First 27 years of my life, I was writing it away, buddy. Man, I had business plans. I was going to be the next billionaire. I had it all figured out. I had it on math spreadsheets, and it was in my closet drawer. And I was just a writing. Praise God. You know what the problem with my pen was? There was no power in my pen. Some of y'all get that later. It was just ink is all it was. When I got 27 years old and broke living with my in-laws, hallelujah, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get rid of this. God, if you'll take this, I'd be glad to give it to you. I know I ain't worthy. I know I don't deserve it. But if you'll take it, I'll give it to you. And when I give it to you, whatever you say is what I'll do. I didn't think anybody would run right there. I'm trying to turn it from a horror book, sad story, into a good book. Praise God. Everybody say a good book. If you'll let him write it, it'll be good. What would happen if all of a sudden everybody in this building just made up their mind, I'm gonna trust the author. I know this is elementary, but sometimes you need to learn the phonics of living for God. And the phonics of living for God is, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the building blocks of living for God. Hallelujah. And when you learn that, you begin to live your life in the perfect will of God, and he's ordering your footsteps, and you go through trying times and things that you don't like, don't pull the pen out of his hand. Just say, you can say what you want, but just be smart about it. God, I love rice and beans, but not every meal. Hallelujah. You know, a good book is not the content of the complete book, but it's how it all ends up. Man, the reason that, has anybody ever read a Nona Freeman book? Did y'all like it or was it terrible? Did y'all like Nona Freeman books? If you've never read one, you ought to read one. She was a UPC missionary to Africa, I think. There's a lot of stuff that if you read that book, you would think, I feel sorry for her. But if you keep reading it, and she kept trusting God, it's like it always turned into a good book. I guess the greatest story that she ever told that impacted me the most was when she got on an airplane, just a little bitty airplane going from one tribe area to another tribe. And she said she sat down and they took off. And one of the engines started making this sound. And everybody on the airplane starts spazzing out. And I'm reading this book and I'm thinking, oh my, this ain't going to be good. And she said, when the engines started making that noise, I grabbed the recline button. While everybody else is leaning forward scared, I hit the recline button and just leaned back and thought, I'm just fixing to go to sleep. A few hours later, she's landed, and she's preaching at a jungle tribe somewhere, and people getting the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, please don't ever let me. God, I don't ever want to get sick. God, I don't ever want to go through this. God, don't ever. God, keep your hand on me. God, keep your hand. I pray that every day because I'm, amen, I'd rather you testify than me. I'd rather read your book. But you know what? It happens. Life happens to everybody. Amen. But if you just keep on trusting God. The Bible would say don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary when you're doing everything you know to do and it ain't working right. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Maybe Joel Moats. I'll listen to it again tomorrow maybe. I've never done that before. But if you just, God, I don't really understand why this plane's making this sound. I'll tell you what, since COVID, planes are a lot louder than they used to be. And they're full and they make a lot of clunks. Praise God. But I read that book of hers and I thought, she got the same Holy Ghost I got. And, hey man, I'm fixing to put a blanket over my head and I'm going to go to sleep too. Amen. To be absent from the body. Be present with the Lord. I either win or I win. It don't matter. Amen. I got a little bit more to preach, but I'm hung up. I hope you know I'm hung up right now. I'm trying to get somebody out of your quitting gear. Amen. And go ahead and just start trusting God from here on out. Somebody in a trial, financial trial, you've been in it so long, it looks like it'll never break. Hey man, don't grow weary in well-doing. Hey man, don't back up on God. Don't start skipping church because things ain't going right in your life. You're going backwards what you're doing. Hey man, it's time to, it may be a chapter you don't understand, but try to get more committed because I know. This is what I know. I know that all things work together for good. Everybody say for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We love to say all things work together for good. Remember, there's a whole lot more to that verse than that. Amen. If you'll give me 5 minutes, I'm going to reverse engineer this scripture. Amen. We're going to figure out how to trust the author. Hallelujah. The end of the verse says, according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Praise God. May get quiet in here for a while, but it's all right. Everybody say, according to His purpose. If all things are going to work out for good in your life, you're going to have to abide by the same prepositional phrase that everybody else does. According and then to His purpose. What does that mean? That means you're walking according to His will. That means you're doing everything you know to do right. I'll tell you, there's no free lunches living for God. There's no Social Security living for God. Amen. You earn everything you get. Amen. People get upset when I preach about works. I'm going to tell you, but if you think you can just sit there like a knot on a log and receive the glorious infilling of the Holy Ghost, let me be the bearer of bad news for you tonight. It don't happen like that. Getting the Holy Ghost is work. The reason it's work is you got to repent before you can get it. And that's where the work comes in. Hey, man, you got to get out of your purpose and get into His purpose. And you cannot live an unrepented life and be in His purpose. You're either in your purpose or His purpose. You're either unrepented or repented. Amen. But if you get in His purpose, everybody say His purpose. His purpose. If we get in His purpose, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can I have 5 more minutes? Thank the Lord. 5 more and I'm done. Praise God. Please don't give up on God. I'm saying like 10,000 words, but I only got a couple words to say. Don't give up on God. Amen. Whatever season of your life you're in, don't give up on God. If it ain't working like you think it ought to work, don't give up on God. You've already said you read those dumb books through those dreary chapters because you knew it was going to end up good somehow. The princess was going to find the prince or whatever. Or kiss a frog or whatever, I don't know. You read through all the hostage situations and all the... Did you not keep on reading it? Because you knew in your spirit the pokey little puppy was going to find his way home. There's no way the book ends with him lost. So you kept on reading it. You kept on, surely. And then a preacher begins to preach, don't grow weary in well doing. You believe the pokey little puppy. And you don't believe God is well able to help you possess the land. Come on, I'm trying to get you out of the Come on, I want somebody. Hey, if you got it all figured out, it's 8:38 and you're dismissed. I want to preach for 5 more minutes. I want to preach for 5 more minutes to somebody. And I want to tell you, wherever you've been, somebody else has already been there. My Bible said there's a great cloud of witnesses and they're standing on the brink of heaven saying, hey, you can make it, my friend. We did it. You can do it. Itarabasha. Hey, I would hate to think the last generation would be the weakest generation. We ought to be the most powerful, the most prayerful generation that has ever been upon the face of the earth. We got more blessings than anybody has ever been blessed. Come on, church. And when one little thing happens, one little thing goes wrong and you... Well, I just whatever, blah, blah. I'm just going to... Whatever. I don't think that living for God's for me. But, man, it's just... Seem like everything's gone wrong in my life since I... Come on, man. Don't you know this is a book? Your life is going to be a book someday. People are going to look back at what you lived and what you did, and they know what you went through. They know the trials you went through. I would hate to say my dad ended up a quitter. Or my mama ended up a quitter. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I'm ready for the church to get a backbone. Hey, we may be in a winter time. You may be in a drought. You may be in a dry season. But if you keep praying, you keep living for God, I'm telling you, God's about to show up. I feel it in my spirit. God's about to show up for somebody. It's victory time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand together with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something. People ain't going to remember you by chapter 4 of your life. They're going to remember how you ended up. Forget about every mistake you've ever made. Forget about every battle you feel like you've lost. Give God the pen back. My Lord, I've never regretted one moment that I handed him my life. You know what I regretted every time I tried to do it myself? I messed things up. I mess people up. I mess business deals up. I mess everything up when I do it myself. I mean, don't let people force you into a corner. Don't let them make you. Don't let people push you into making a quick decision on anything in your life. You touch God. I don't care if it's a job. Who you're going to marry, don't let anybody force you into anything. Amen. You don't do anything till you know it's God. I don't even like to call people until I know it's God. I don't even want to text any. I mess it up when I text people. I say things I shouldn't say, and I gotta go back and apologize. But every time I pray, God gives me words to say. No regret. Boy, I feel Jesus in this place. You know what I say, God? Order my steps in your word. Teach me how to walk in your word. teaching me how to get along with people in your word. Teaching me how to deal with life in your word. Amen. I want to tell you, I feel like God, he's already changed a whole lot of stuff in my life. Amen. I haven't even been living for God as long as I haven't been living for God. But he's already changed the whole dynamic. It don't take God long. In 52 days, God can build a wall. Boy, I feel... I'm telling you... I want you to raise your hand. Act like you got a pen. And I want you to... Just say, here, God. Here, God. Here, God. Come on, I want you to mean it when you do this. God, I don't want to mess anything else up in my life. Come on. Come on, I want honest men and women. I want honest young people. Ooh, ta 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 ya da ba ka ta. Come on, I want the rest of the chapters of your life to be the most beautiful story. And this is how it's going to happen. You need to get out of God's way. Come on, somebody needs to step out in the aisle. Say, I'm about to get out of God's way. I'm going to let God do this. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody in this house, I want you to begin to fervently pray right now. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm determined. I'm determined my life, my story is going to be a good one. Come on, rabba-ba-ba. Ooh, rabba. Come on, you can change right now. You could. It only takes a moment to make a decision. God, this is you. God, I'm giving it to you. God, take something to make it beautiful. Make it beautiful. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Come on, church. Come on, church. Somebody needs to pray until the Holy Ghost begins to flow like a river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See ya. Come on, you need to take all your decisions off the shelf and let God do what God's gonna do. God, you can take up my messed up situation. God, you can take my mistakes and you can turn it into a good book. You can turn it into something.